I wonder tonight, how long would it take someone else, we would hope the enemy, I would hope it would not be a friend, although faithful are the wounds of a friend, the Bible says, how long would it take for our enemy to find fault with us, not as a common citizen, not with regards to our finances or the upkeep of our perhaps premises, the cutting of our grass and the clipping of our shrubs. But I speak tonight to us as the people of God. How long would it take for the enemy to find fault with you or I concerning our spiritual walk with God? You say tonight, Brother Sean, that's an awful odd question for you to be asking. I don't want a public answer. But I want you to think in your own heart and mind tonight how hard it would be for someone to find a crack in your shell. You see, the enemy is constantly watching us. Satan, the Bible says, is the great enemy of the people of God. Now, the last enemy of the people of God is death. Both of these will be destroyed. Satan is not stronger than God, never has been, never will be. He is stronger than you and I tonight. Now, as long as we're walking and abiding in Christ, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We have nothing to worry about. We have nothing to fear. But you can mark it tonight that Satan is not your friend.
Amen.
And he has a lot of emissaries. There are a lot of people that he controls. I notice every once in a while on the news, or I read in the paper, a particular event that's unfolding, and sometimes people will ask the question, what would ever cause him or her to do that? Well, you know, we like to blame a lot of things on the devil. You ever heard that saying, the devil made me do it? Well, I submit to you tonight, the devil probably doesn't make us do the majority of what we do.
Amen.
The devil doesn't make us really do anything.
Amen.
We do it because we decide to do it.
Amen.
Satan is not your friend tonight. He will strive as much as he can to lead you astray. And we all have much to lose tonight. If we cavil or we give in, just one iota to our adversary. I made this statement to the young people tonight. You have a whole lifetime ahead of you. I say that based on what the Word of God says, that we are allocated, if you will, 70 years. But I don't know that to be a fact. You see, death may come for you a whole lot sooner. A young boy and a young girl, 17 years old, lifetime of promise ahead of them, traveling on Highway 13 towards Aaron, or 48, I'm not sure. It was one of those, I can promise you that. About 3 weeks ago, on a Monday night, 8 o'clock, no doubt preparing to go to school the next day, top of their class, Montgomery Central High School. Lost control of the truck, slid off the road, hit a tree. Both of those young people went off into eternity. You see, I say tonight to the young people, you have a lifetime ahead of you, but I don't know how long that lifetime is. If it is 70 years or greater, my dad refers to the year over 70 as bonus years. If it is 70 years, or if your life's graced with bonus years, our life's still a vapor.
Amen.
It flees by faster than a weaver's shuttle. It appeareth for a little time, then it vanishes away. So the way in which we spend our life ought to be of utmost importance to us tonight, especially as the people of God. And as I said, you can mark it. Satan is diligent to strive to tear you down, to corrupt your reputation, your character, your integrity. Integrity is so hard to build and so easy to lose. Just one lie can ruin your integrity tonight. One drink. I saw in the paper, I believe it was this morning, a number of law enforcement agencies worked together. And they performed one of the largest drug busts, so to speak, in Montgomery County. And 11 of those that they sought to apprehend are still at large. Just one opportunity to abuse prescription drugs, illegal drugs, can ruin your integrity. One look. This is how serious this is, beloved, tonight. One look at a promiscuous display can ruin your integrity. Don't let your speech bewray you. The things that we say are so fundamentally important to who we are, especially as the people of God. People take note to your speech. I heard on the radio early this morning, Ray Lewis, I believe, made a statement against Tom Brady. I'm not a big football fan. I like football, but I don't go into withdrawals if I don't get to watch a game. But I like competitive sports. Ray Lewis is retired now from the Baltimore Ravens, but he made a statement really to deride Tom Brady. And Tom Brady so graciously responded that Ray Lewis, it was an honor for him to play against him on the field. This is after Ray Lewis had cut him down. They thought he was going to come back with some response that would, you know, belittle Ray Lewis. But he didn't do that. He said, it's been an honor for me to play against Ray Lewis. He's a first-round Hall of Famer. There's a lot of prospect ahead of him. And I suspect every man's entitled to his opinion. And the airwaves were filled with responses like classy, uncharacteristic, hard to believe. But they were paying attention to his speech. Amen. One of the radio host speakers said, you know what I've never heard Tom Brady say? And the other fellow said, what's that? He said, I've never heard him say a cuss word. You see, the world's watching. Does your speech bewray you? When I worked at the post office for the time that I worked there, almost 3 years before the Lord called me into the ministry and I resigned at the post office, I suspect one of the greatest statements that was made about me was made by a group of three Negro ladies. And what they said was, I've never heard him curse. I know it's only because God has graced me with the ability to guard my speech in such a way. But folks, watch what we say. I'm not saying tonight, beloved, that any of us curse. I hope that we don't. I surely hope that none of us uses the name of God vainly. I'm not going to preach on that tonight. I want to preach something else that is a little more common, and it may strike you. I have not been driving out in my vehicle and scoping with my binoculars, you know, the Dewberry household, and trying to lip sync and put together what they say. nor the Fitch family or anyone else here that laughed at it. I haven't done that. But I'm noticing more and more a trend of the world, and it's creeping into God's people. And I feel it's high time that we address it. Because my desire, beloved, as a child of God, is to walk in a way that's pleasing and honoring to God. And I want folks to be able to look at me and say, you know what, there goes a young man who's walking circumspectly. And not only that, but man, that guy's speech, I mean, what he says is what he is. You know, there was a fellow in the Bible whose speech berated him. You know who that was? I mean, he said one thing, but his actions proved something different, and it wasn't lining up with his talk. Turn over to Matthew, if you will, chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. I'll finish my introduction in just a moment. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 69. You know that Peter followed our Lord afar off. The Lord Jesus Christ had told Peter that he would deny him. Peter said, no, be it far from me, that'll never happen. You know, I've learned that it's very fatal to never say never. Don't ever say you'll never do something. But by the grace of God, you won't do it. Verse number 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was going out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then Peter began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And just as Jesus had said, immediately the cock crew. I'm not saying tonight that we as God's people will deny the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying tonight that you may not go into work on Monday and somebody say, sir, I thought you were a Christian. And you say, yes, I am. Well, that's odd. Your conduct doesn't match up, or your speech derayeth you. There are primarily two words that I have found being used with frequency. And dearly beloved, I want to say this with love tonight. And certainly, I'm not looking down on anyone in this room. With God's help and by His grace, I don't say these words. But with me, it's more apparent because it's something that's really struck a chord in my heart. You may utter these words. You may utter them with frequency. I don't know. I don't belittle you tonight, and nor am I trying to put you down. I just simply want us as God's people to use speech that is honoring to God. The world uses these two words. And if you'll just watch the news. Read the paper. Sadly, I have, as of late, paid attention to some of the publications that I get coming into my home. And these are Christian publications from churches of like faith. And I'm finding these words even being inserted in the substance of the papers. I know you're on the edge of your seat saying, come on, brother, what are they? Well, I'm going to give them to you tonight. You know, the Bible says that our speech is to be sound. Our words are to be sound. That word's an interesting word. It comes from the Greek, hugianeo. It means to be uncorrupt, or to be doctrinally true, to be wholesome, to be healthy. We can utter words that edify. We can utter words that encourage. We can utter words that glorify. We can utter words also that belittle and tear down and discourage. But these two words are fairly common amongst the lost. And I'm not so concerned with the speech that the lost uses. It's to be expected. But beloved, when it comes into the fold, when it comes into God's flock, when sheep begin to speak with goat language, it's a problem. And it ought to be addressed. These two words that I see being used and often affiliated with churches of life, faith, and order. I'm not talking about Roman Catholicism. I'm not talking about Methodists and Presbyterians and Pentecostals. I'm talking about independent, fundamental, sovereign grace, missionary Baptists, just like you and I. The words that I hear used so frequently are fortunately and unfortunately. I know you're probably chuckling, saying, "Oh, Brother Trescott, please, come on now. You can't be serious." I mean, because I may say, unfortunately, the car pulled out. And by the way, there was a truck that pulled out before us tonight. I didn't see that as attributed to the lack of luck or happenstance or chance. We'll mention that tonight. You may say, you know, that's silly. When I use those words, when I say, unfortunately, the car had a flat tire and I couldn't get to work, or fortunately, you know, a check came in the mail and I was able to pay my bills, there's nothing wrong with that. Let me give you Webster's definition of these two words. Again, beloved, I just want us to walk close to the Lord. God is either pleased with our speech or offended by our speech. What do these two words really mean? Fortunately, this is from Webster's Universal Dictionary and Thesaurus. Fortunately is an adverb derived from the adjective fortunate, which is defined as having or occurring by luck. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Our God rules over the universe. Our God upholds us by His power. Our God feeds us. Our God protects us. Our God teaches us. Nothing in the life of a child of God, nor in the life of a reprobate, occurs by luck. If it does, our speech berates us. Because we believe that God is sovereign in everything. That means, dearly beloved, that God does what He pleases. And God has the right and authority to do as He pleases, just as the potter has the authority to do what he pleases with the clay. And we are the clay. Let's never get that reversed. Fortunately, it's defined as having or occurring by luck. Fortune, the noun, is defined as, and listen to this, the supposed arbitrary power that determines events. So you see what happens when we use that word, we're replacing Almighty God with a supposed arbitrary power that causes events. What are those supposed arbitrary powers? Again, this is Webster's. These arbitrary powers could be luck, destiny, prosperity, success, vast wealth. A supposed power is one that cannot be proven to exist. And so I say tonight to us as the people of God, especially, and to each one here tonight, beware in speech not to replace God's omnipotence with a phantom power. God is very zealous and jealous of His glory. The Bible says, and God Himself makes this statement, with another, I will not share my glory. God's very jealous of His glory. What necessarily does that mean? Sometimes I say some things and my wife tells me, I think you're jealous. You're jealous of me. Yes, I am. Sometimes things happen in the church where the Lord's placed me to oversee the flock. And perhaps a member doesn't conduct themselves in an appropriate way, or maybe they put things before God that offends me. I'm jealous over the Lord's church. Matter of fact, I suspect we as God's people ought to be jealous over everything that God's jealous over. So if He's jealous of His glory, we ought to protect His glory. We ought to safeguard it. We ought to be very careful about representing God's glory. For clarification, the same dictionary defines arbitrary. Remember, I said this was a supposed arbitrary power that determines events. Arbitrary is defined as not bound by rules, despotic, capricious, or unreasonable. All of those are blasphemous if attributed to God. God never works capriciously. God is never unreasonable. Unfortunately, I think I probably hear this used more than I do the word fortunately. And I don't know that I've ever heard anyone here in this room say these words. If I have, I would have probably said something privately. And I've done that with some fellow preachers. And sadly, it's not been received as well as it should. I hear this word probably mentioned more. The word unfortunately, you see this an awful lot, and you hear it on the radio and the television. Unfortunately means hapless, ill-fated, ill-starred, luckless, unhappy, unlucky, unprosperous, unsuccessful, wretched, calamitous, deplorable, disastrous, inappropriate, or inexpedient. In other words, dilemma or chaos occurs because this supposed arbitrary power that determines events based on luck, the zodiac, the stars lining up, destiny or karma, happens to go on vacation. And unfortunately, these things occur. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord.
Amen.
Every breath that I take is issued to me by God.
Amen.
Every breath that you take is issued to you by God. When you take your last breath, it's not unlucky that you died. It's not unfortunate that you died. It's not fortunate that you were born. Not according to Ecclesiastes. The Bible says there's a time to be born and a time to die. God has appointed the bounds. And no man can pass by those bounds of your conception and your death. It's not fortunate that children come into this world. The Bible says children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. I'm not going to attribute that to some arbitrary power, hapless power, floating out there in the space somewhere. To say that fortunately we got us a boss that cares about the people. No, God put that boss in there. So, either God's in control or He's not. You see, God's not in a little bit of control, or like Brother Jim said, you know, some long-haired, gray, helpless being who twiddles his thumbs hoping that everything unfolds the way that he's thought that it should. No, He's the director of every affair that goes on in our world. Secret things belong to the Lord. Beloved, I can't explain to you why there are Hitlers and Husseins. I can't explain that. But I trust that God does all things well. And I trust my life with Him. And I pray that God would help me at all times to enable the speech that comes out of these lips to be pleasing and honoring to Him. How vain and dishonoring to our great and terrible God is our speech when we attribute incidents and accidents as occurring through luck, happenstance, chance, good fortune, or the absence thereof. You know, to get real technical, there are no accidents. I've heard some folks say it was an accident that baby was born. You know, we didn't plan on that. You might not have planned on it, but it wasn't an accident. I don't plan on a lot of things. But they happen. Why? I don't know why, but I know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I know that God has foreordained us unto good works, that we should walk in them. I want to mention something to you tonight. How out of place would it be to find, written in a biblical commentary, and I'm sure that many of us as preachers enjoy taking commentaries, and perhaps some of the other laymen, enjoy taking commentary and looking at what some of the other writers have to say. I enjoy purviewing what A.W. Pink has written in his commentary of the Word of God and a number of other books that he has penned. How out of place would it be if you picked up a commentary? What would you think of a commentary if you picked it up and you read this? Unfortunately, the three Hebrew men were cast into the fiery furnace, but fortunately they survived unharmed. How about the mighty giant of Gath stood up to the verbal assaults of a young shepherd boy, but unfortunately he was struck in the head by a wayward stone and subsequently died. Those two statements would be utterly blasphemous to Almighty God, because, beloved, we know by faith that God was involved in both of those events. Only God could cause a little stone to go through the air at such velocity that it goes through the helmet of a giant and goes further into the head, causing his instant death. I think it was Saul and his son Jonathan, if I'm not mistaken, were in a chariot. And I believe they were struck. And Saul asked his armor bearer to pull out his sword so that he could die, so he wouldn't die at the hands of the others. And the armor bearer said, I can't do that. I can't take the life of the king. And so Saul, I believe the Bible says, took out his own sword and fell headlong on it. When the armor bearer saw what he did, he fell on his. Jonathan perished that day. You think those were unfortunate events? Think luck. You think, was it Cupid was up there, hopped on this arrow, flying this thing around, and it comes down and hits Saul? That was just unfortunate? No. God's plan's unfolding. Two boys. For the two children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, Romans chapter 9, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. It was said of him, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Fortunate for Jacob and unfortunate for Esau? No. No, because our God's in control. Our God doeth whatsoever He pleaseth. Oh, beloved, how we need to submit to the will of God in everything. Have the most aged member of Sunnyview Baptist Church tonight at Gateway Medical Center ...87 years old, not complaining about anything, affected by pneumonia, infection, fluid on the lungs, shortness of breath, arrhythmia, just the heart going out of beat. Not a single complaint. She said last week, all is well. Her daughter, I just don't know what I'd do if Mama dies. I understand, beloved, we have human connections with our loved ones. But if Sister Imogene Outland goes home to be with the Lord, that's not unfortunate. And it's not fortunate either. God's will has been accomplished. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I think sometimes we've got this whole thing out of kilter. We ought to rejoice when a saint goes home to be with the Lord. Not wish them to stay here for a period of time. An old fellow went to the doctor and he was up in years. The doctor said, "Sir, I have to prescribe you some medicine. It's very expensive, though. It'll be $8 a pill. You need to take this pill and you'll have to take it for the rest of your life." He said, "I'll write you out a description. You go to the pharmacy and get the pill. I don't know how long it'll help you live, but it should help you for a period of time." He said, "Sir, you are the greatest of fools." The doctor thought, "What in the world? I'm trying to help you. I'm wanting to prescribe you a pill, $8 a day. It'll extend your life here on this earth." The man said, "You're the greatest of fools. I will not pay $8 a day to avoid meeting my Redeemer." And I'm told, and it's a true story, I'm told 3 days later he died and went to glory. There's nothing wrong with taking medicines. I'm not saying that at all. But it's not a matter of fortune or the lack of fortune. I suspect if Noah was alive in our day, we might find the caption in the paper, "Unfortunately, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights and global flooding recurred, but fortunately, the waters are receding." Perhaps at the cross, an unlearned person could be heard saying to another as they looked at Christ, "Unfortunately, that man in the middle died, having never committed any wrongdoing." It's not unfortunate. Christ never ran from the cross. I believe He ran to the cross. He set His face like a flint because He came with a purpose, and that was to redeem His people, those given to Him by God the Father. Soothsayers. Fortune tellers. That's what a person who tells fortunes are. They're soothsayers, biblically. You know who they're associated with? Magicians. Witchcraft, astrologers. Both the Hebrew and Greek words for soothsayers in Micah 5:12 and Acts chapter 16:16, you'll find these words. Anan in the Hebrew and in the Greek. Matumea, I carry the idea of divining under pretense of foretelling, acting covertly or covering the truth. They all go hand in hand in robbing God of His glory and honor and power. And now I want to come to the meat of the message and I'll be brief. Turn, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 42. I'll give you some scripture. It matters very little what I say. It matters all what God says. Isaiah chapter 42. I direct your attention to verse number 8 in the pages of Holy Writ. "I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." Fortune tellers delve into an arena that we as God's children are commanded to abstain from. And anyone who engages in the idea of fortune or the lack of fortune is not pleasing to God. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. How peculiar are the people of God? How separated should we be? Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse number 10. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, fortune telling, or fortune, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, one who allegedly speaks to the dead. You know, when I was on recruiting duty with the United States Army in 1997, I went to Oak Hill High School in Oak Hill, West Virginia. I was going to set up a table with a display for the United States Army with the hope of getting some young people that were qualified. That's what you always hope for. You get a lot of people, very few qualified. A few people to come up and talk to me that were qualified to enlist in the United States Army. And as soon as I went in the cafeteria to get a table to set up, I noticed groups of children sitting at the tables. And so I asked one of the teachers, I said, "What's going on with the children in groups? I thought this was lunchtime." "Oh, they're finished with their lunch, Mr. Truscott. They've probably got their tarot cards and Ouija boards out, and they're playing with those." And I turned around and walked right back out of the school and got in my car and went to the recruiting station. Again, young people, may I say to you tonight, don't delve in that kind of activity. I know it's enticing. I know it seems exciting. I know to watch some dial or what, however it works, or dice or whatever jumps around on a board, and to have things perhaps point to your future. May seem to be so fun and innocent. It's demonic.
Amen.
And in the Old Testament, a witch or one associated with a witch was to be killed.
Right,
and we've become so loose as a society today, we don't want to put anyone to death. The Bible says there's not to be found among us anyone that's attributed to this kind of activity. Let me also say that witchcraft is a work of the flesh, and the people of God must abstain from any and all association with it, even in speech. Turn to Galatians now in the New Testament. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 19 through verse number 21. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 19 through 21. Paul is writing to the children of God. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of the which I told you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Brother Sean, are you saying if I say the words "unfortunately" or "fortunately," I'm not going to go to heaven? No, I'm not saying that at all. I am saying that you're greatly displeasing to my Heavenly Father. You are greatly offensive to Him. And to the Spirit of God which indwells you if you're a child of God. What offends God should also greatly offend us. A few more scripture passages and we're going to close tonight. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. "Contrasting those that profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being an abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate." Paul writes unto Timothy and says, but there's something different that should be said of the people of God. Don't be disobedient. Don't be abominable. Don't be in every good work reprobate, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Titus chapter 2, verse 7. "In all things, exhorting the young men, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity." Notice this: "sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Psalm chapter 19, verse number 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. I hope and I pray that your speech doesn't bewray you. Be very careful. I said just the other day, I think it was about 4 days ago, I was speaking to my wife and I said, sadly, and I proceeded to say whatever was said. And my wife looked at me and she said, I was waiting for you to say unfortunately. I said, sweetheart, you're not going to hear that come out of my mouth. With God's help and by God's grace. If you use these two particular words, and I'm sure that perhaps tomorrow or tonight or maybe on the Lord's Day or Monday when you go to work. Beloved, I know we're human. I don't want to put any one of us above another because we're not above one another. We're all the children of God. And perhaps tomorrow, perhaps on the Lord's Day or Monday as you start your work week, the boss asks you a question. You might be prone to say, unfortunately, sir, sadly. Regretfully. Nothing wrong with those. I certainly don't find it pleasant that perhaps a young lady is raped. I certainly wouldn't say that it's unfortunate. I would say it's regrettable. I would say that it's sad. If you find yourself using these words, and perhaps slowly but surely it will come to light if you do, how can you honor God? I don't want to leave you tonight just giving you the bad part of it. I want to help us as God's people. Rather than saying fortunately, use these words. Thank the Lord. You know, thank the Lord I got the job. Not fortunately I got the job. I was driving down the road and fortunately I saw that new car and I pulled in there and qualified for. Fortunately I qualified for financing. No, thankfully. Thankfully God enabled me to have reliable transportation for my wife and children. Praise God is another good. If you're going to say something about something good that happened, praise God. Praise God I made my last house payment. Praise God I was encouraged in the services on the Lord's Day. Praise God my preacher got a new suit and tie. He's not wearing the same thing, you know. Thankfully, praise God. Bless the Lord. To my surprise, nothing wrong with those. Strive to find replacements for the word fortunately. And you'll notice, beloved, and probably after you leave here tonight, the media, it's filled with it. They're attributing all these things to some supposed arbitrary power. Unfortunately. Sadly, regretfully, I like this one, for reasons only known to God. Habits are oft hard to alter and sever. And this habit, I know, will require discipline. If you have this habit. Again, I'm not here to condemn any one of us tonight. I just pray that God would be pleased by this simple presentation of His Word. And reminder to us as His people to help us to select words that are God-honoring words. For we'll all stand before Almighty God one day. Those of us that are saved will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we'll answer for every single word. You really want to get uncomfortable? We'll answer for every single thought. You're thinking, I wish he'd shut up. I will. If you use those words, beloved, I pray that God, I've not mentioned this to anyone else. I've not preached this message. It's been on my heart for a while. I was praying this afternoon, and I had some other thoughts, and my mind kept going back to this particular thought. Perhaps there's somebody here that needs to hear this. Young people, don't waste your life attributing things that happen to karma, luck, fortune. Know that God's in control. We'll never be able to make sense out of everything. I don't know why young children die at an early age. They're healthy, maybe 2 or 3 years old, and there's a little casket with the body lying in it. I don't know why. But I know God has a purpose and a reason for it. I say I don't know why. Humanly, it doesn't make sense to us. We can't reason it humanly. The secret things belong to the Lord. Those aren't unfortunate events. They're just events that are unfolding in the eternal purpose and predetermined counsel of Almighty God. Praise God. Bless God. Thank God. Honor God with your speech. I pray it won't be rash.